Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, also editor of PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, which is hopping with traffic the past few days after the monumental story in the world of UFC, Ronda Rousey losing to Holly Holmes. And most people, when they talk about it, talk about Ronda Rousey for about 5 minutes and then add Holly's name at the very end, which sometimes seems like shortchanging somebody who did what was thought to be impossible. Tons of coverage over at MMATorch.com over the past few days, by the way. Great show coverage from Jamie Pennick, as always, live during pay-per-views to keep you up to date on the matches. If you tape the pay-per-view and speed through the main events, Jamie will let you know which undercard matches are worth watching, even if you're somebody who just wants to watch for the big fight stars like Ronda Rousey. And I know some of you are out there like that, but if you devour the show start to finish, he's got great analysis of each of the fights, great card previews before fight cards, and great post-show analysis and news stories. One of those news stories today is a post of the video of Ronda Rousey leaving or arriving at the airport, hiding behind sunglasses and covering her face. She did not want people to see what her face and head looks like after the beating she took on Saturday night. So much coverage over at MMATorch.com. It is a new website, redesigned from the ground up last month. Check it out. It is fast loading. It looks great on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or phone. And you can also check out the MMA Torch livecast featuring the Torch's own Todd Martin from the PW Torch VIP side of things, joining Jamie Pennick for an hour roughly going in-depth on that show. Check it out at MMATorchLivecast.com. But this is the PW Torch livecast, and I am host on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Thursday we will have Mick Karsh with us to talk about the career, the life, and the man, Nick Bockwinkel, who died over the weekend at age 80. He had been in declining health, especially mentally in recent years, was at the Cauliflower Alley banquet earlier this year, and it was announced it would be his last time there, and it was an emotional night. Mick Karsh ran the Nick Bockwinkel fan club in the 1970s. He wrote for Pro Wrestling Torch Newsletter in the 1980s. He hosted the Saturday Night at Ringside Wrestling Block in the 1980s and 90s, and worked for the AWA as a ring announcer on ESPN at the Las Vegas Showboat Pavilion, and has been a great guest many times here on the PW Torch livecast. There will be no more emotional show than the one we'll do Thursday with Mick, who just loved Nick Bockwinkel, told him that at Cauliflower Alley earlier this year, and has as much insight into Nick's career, seeing it firsthand from the AWA, his arrival in the AWA through his retirement and interacting with him in his retirement years. An amazing, amazing wrestler, Nick Bockwinkel, the first world champion he was a world champion I grew up on. He was a heel world champion in the AWA for 6 or 7 years, and was the definition of a champion. And I talked about this in the Wade Keller Hotline. He was the normal guy. He wasn't likable because he was that snobbish country club heel character who acted better than you and used big words and snubbed his nose at everything that seemed beneath him. But man, did I want to pay to see the Crusher or Vern Gagne or Mad Dog Vachon or, you know, pick the babyface in the AWA, beat him up. And he also was kind of, when I say normal, the normal guy that made all the other outlandish characters stand out. And I think that was an important thing that Nick provided, even as a heel, being the more normal guy around which all this craziness and brawlers and brutish characters and larger-than-life personalities. And here's Nick standing there, managed by the inimitable Bobby the Brain Heenan, going bonkers while Nick tried to keep his cool, although sometimes he blew his temper on promos. When people ask who my all-time favorite wrestler is, Nick is at the very top gathering of wrestlers that come to mind when I think of my favorite wrestlers ever. And I've said it before, too. He's, I think, the best bump taker of his generation. He and Ray Stevens were an amazing tag team, both known for defining great heel bump taking at the time. I don't think anybody sold better than Nick did during his prime. Maybe there were some at his level, like Ray Stevens. But just an amazing, amazing wrestler and career. I was glad to see that WWE acknowledged Nick Bockwinkel. It took to the third hour, so I was getting worried. But they did a nice job. Byron Saxton even talked about watching AWA tapes and sharing some specific memories of Nick. I can't urge everybody enough who is not familiar with Nick Bockwinkel to go onto YouTube and look up some of his promos. Because I don't just want to say, oh, he was great. He was a great wrestler. I really want people who haven't seen his work, because he's not populating the WWE network. He doesn't populate clips, even in the Monday Night Wars. You know, he was somebody who was part of the big three, one of the big three promotions at AWA that went under before the NWA or WCW did 10 years later. And obviously WWE, WWF outlasted them all. And as a result, his history isn't as easy. It's not as unavoidable. You kind of have to seek it out. But his promos are so good. And as a bonus, you get to see Bobby Heenan in his prime when he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 27. And this has been proven scientifically. 20 to 27 times better in the AWA than he was in the WWF. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm kidding about the scientifically proven part. Bobby's best work by far was in the AWA alongside Nick Bockwinkel. So check that out on YouTube as a prep for Thursday's live cast with Mick Karsh. I really look forward to having Mick on the show. We're going to dedicate the whole show to discussing Nick Bockwinkel. I had the chance to interview Nick Bockwinkel early in my years doing the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, just a few years into it. He was a featured long-form interview in the Pro Wrestling Torch yearbook. And it was something that was a big deal for him to do, because he was from the old, he was kind of an old school guy, and the newsletters in the late 80s, mid to late 80s and early 90s were, quote, exposing the business in a way that Nick wasn't comfortable with. But he was kind enough to do an interview for a kid trying to establish himself, and so I thank him for that. But mostly, I thank him for helping me become a great pro wrestling fan and showing me what how a top heel conducts himself both on the microphone and in the ring as a representative of the world championship. We'll probably have more to say as the show goes on. If you want to call and share some Nick Bockwinkel memories, you're absolutely free to do so. You can also call us and talk about last night's Raw. I suspect we're going to have some people calling about the Divas promo or segment, the contract signing at the end. I know I'll be talking to Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net momentarily about that. Jason from ProWrestling.net joins me every Tuesday on the PW Torch livecast. We've got a lot of callers lined up already. In fact, looking at the switchboard, I'm going to go, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 people lined up on the switchboards already. You can get in line. If you're a VIP member, I encourage you to utilize the VIP Express method to get ahead in line. The phone number is 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. You can also email us a question or topic, especially if you're a VIP member or .NET member, and we'll try to get to your topic or question in the VIP after show after this free live cast goes off the air. Another quick plug, J.J. Dillon, manager of the Four Horsemen, one-time talent relations director for WWE, preceding Jim Ross. He was my guest for around an hour and a half last Thursday. That show was available at pwtorchlivecast.com. A lot of praise for that interview. J.J. sharing some great stories, great insights, really, really good interview. And then last Wednesday, on the Wednesday live cast with Pat McNeil, his guest was Mickey James. And about 17 minutes into the program, Mickey joins. And it's a stellar interview with Mickey. Some great comments from her, some great insights from her about the women's wrestling and how it should be portrayed. And I think it's a great companion to what we saw last night on Raw, pros and cons. And so I encourage you to check that out. About 17 minutes, I think, into the program is when Mickey joins the show. And among other things, talks about her career and all kinds of stuff, but also some really, I think, poignant comments about how to successfully and respectfully promote women in this industry. All right, that is the preamble to the show. I want to go to our first break and hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net. We'll get his take on Raw, some Nick Bockwinkel memories, and then dive into your phone calls. So thanks, and stick with us on the other side of the break. A lot of Nick Bockwinkel and Raw talk. As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen, and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com. All right, we are back on the PW Torch Livecast. I'm going to make this quick because I'm going to get to Jason, but we do have our Black Friday, early Black Friday VIP special going on right now. You can get $9 off a VIP subscription. That's 90% off a one-month subscription. Sign up for $1, just like Netflix, Hulu, WWE Network. It will auto-renew at $10 a month after the first month, or you can cancel before the end of the first month and have no further obligation. $1 for a full month, or take $9 off a three-month or one-year subscription. Just go to pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. When you get to the sign-up page, be sure to enter Livecast Sale. One word, Livecast Sale, and you will be in the door for the next month, including Survivor Series coverage, full access to 28 years of archives, the every single day Wade Keller Hotline, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, the Fix with Todd Martin, ad-free access to our brand new, as of last month, VIP website, pwtorchvip.com, completely new, built from the ground up, ad-free mobile access to our VIP content that we add every day, including in-browser, on-site streaming of our audio shows on Safari, Chrome, and other browsers. Check out details. It's a brand new sign-up page, just redone last week, pwtorch.com/govip. It'll give you the very latest details on what comes with the VIP membership. And then if you click on the more info link, you can also get a batch of really cool testimonials. Dozens of testimonials from the past 12 months of VIP members who are endorsing the product unsolicited and saying why you should make the leap into becoming a VIP member. I can spend 5 minutes talking more about it, but nothing I think will convince you more than hearing from other VIP members just like you, other Livecast listeners just like you, who turned into VIP members and have not looked back. These are real testimonials, real quotes from real people who once, in many cases, were Livecast listeners that took advantage of a sale, signed up, and went VIP. A dollar is all it costs to get in for a full month. Check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. The coupon code is really easy to get that $9 off, Livecast Sale. It's our Black Friday early special. Livecast Sale is the coupon code. I appreciate Jason Powell's patience. We've got a lot of plugs and a little tribute to Nick Bockwinkel out of the way. I want to bring Jason into the program now. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. Welcome to the Tuesday Livecast. As always, I want to just say it feels good to be in first place. As James Caldwell just put on Twitter, I have to take a shot at the Green Bay Packers. And as lifelong Viking fans and many-time season ticket holders, Jason, with the Vikings, it's kind of fun to say that because it's been a long time since we said that midseason.
Yeah, it has, and enjoy it while it lasts. I mean, I am really happy to see where they're at, but let's not forget, hey, if Green Bay beats us on Sunday, they're right back in first place because they would have the tiebreaker on us. So I'm looking forward to the game, but I'm not getting – I don't want to be that Viking fan that suddenly we win a few games and we think we're about to win seven straight Super Bowls.
I think we're about to win seven straight Super Bowls. I am that fan. There was nobody more cynical 3 weeks ago than me, and now I am on the bandwagon again, but I get to be a bandwagon jumper because I put my time in watching Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper and Randall Cunningham and Chris Carter and Robert Smith during those glory years at the old Metrodome. And so, yeah, I'm, but you know, next week I'll, if we lose, I'll be off the bandwagon. So anyway.
It feels so good to hear you say old Metrodome.
I know, it's gone. I can actually see the new stadium from my living room window. It is so awesome seeing that thing go up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, having a world-class facility like that is pretty cool. Although I don't think I can ever afford to actually go to a game. But I'm looking forward
to hearing. Don't have a beer. They're going to be over $10.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll just go on, you know, I'm sure they'll offer tours. So I'll probably go on a tour of the facility, not during a game. And then eventually, you know, maybe someday.
Well, hopefully we'll be at WrestleMania there.
Well, that's true, yeah. But I mean in terms of Viking games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on any more serious note, Jason, Nick Bockwinkel died over the weekend. Honestly, I mean, yeah, it depends on what day you ask me. He might be my all-time favorite wrestler, certainly in the group of the top three or four of all time. I grew up with him. I know you grew up in the AWA territory around the same time like I did. Talk for a moment or two about Nick.
Yeah, you know, very similar thoughts. He was definitely the champion of my childhood. You know, when I first started watching pro wrestling, he was the guy. It was shortly after Vern retired. I know you went to the Vern Gagne retirement match. I started watching shortly after, and Nick was the champion, and then seeing his program with Hulk Hogan, and, you know, just the list goes on. And I don't think there's a better 1-2 punch in wrestling history than Bobby Heenan and Nick Bockwinkel. They were so good together. And you know, you mentioned Nick, just he was such, he added so much credibility to everything in the AWA. He was just the perfect champion because Bobby would go on those rants, and you had a guy, you know, the Sheik out there wearing his garb, and you had Jesse Ventura doing his over the top sometimes comedic shtick. Nick didn't go there. You know, Nick was just all business all the time, and you believe what he said when he talked about going to the country club, being intellectually superior. You just believe those things because they were probably true. To this day, I just assume they were true.
I do too. I mean, there's some great phrases he has used on YouTube over the years. There's some great phrases he used on promos over the years, and you can see them or hear them for yourself on YouTube. I mean, just he wanted to impress you with big words, and you know, he called the fans humanoids, and he had his terminology to look down at the fans. And I mean, he really was just a tremendous heel, and so good in the ring too. You know, that can't be understated.
Oh no, yeah, I mean, he made Hogan look phenomenal back in those days. And I know, going back to the Crusher days, when he would make him look good, I mean, Nick was right up there with the best in-ring performers in the history of the industry, as far as I'm concerned, at least as far back as I go. And, I mean, at the same, you know, I do want to add, just sounds like going through what he was, that this may have been one of those where it's kind of a blessing that it occurred.
Yeah, he was going through a mental decline, you know, and people noticed in recent years an acceleration, but it was a long, long decline of his memories going away. And they did, you know, say that he, at the Cauliflower Alley, that this would be the last time that he was at Cauliflower Alley. So I think they kind of knew, his wife knew and family knew that, you know, this was nearing the end, at least in terms of his being a public figure. So if anybody has Nick Bockwinkel memories, certainly feel free to share them today. Otherwise, you can also save them up for Thursday's live cast with Mick Karsh. I really look forward to having him on the show to talk about it. All right, Jason, I want to, because we're late getting to calls because of talking about Nick Bockwinkel especially. I want to get some rapid-fire thoughts from you on last night's Raw, the Final Four of the tournament, and the inclusion of the death of Reed Flair in Charlotte's promo, and in general, putting that promo, or the I should say the contract signing with Paige and Charlotte on at the end of Raw. Those are three of the big talking points coming out of Raw. Quick thoughts from you on that, and then we'll go to callers because I'm sure those will come up again as we go.
Boy, I have a lot to say about those, so I'll try to be concise because I'm sure the callers will be bringing those up. Disgusted by them bringing up Reed Flair's death, using a death, exploiting a death on the same show where they've, you know, had the tribute to Paris. They spend time talking about the death of Nick Bockwinkel at ringside. I just watched that, and it makes me even more skeptical that when they pay tribute to most of the people that they do when they pass, It's to look good. You know, I can't help but feel that way when I see them on the same show go ahead and turn around and exploit a death the way they did. The tournament, very predictable. I enjoyed 3 out of 4 matches. I think it's going to be the only. I mean, the only really unpredictable match that we've had since Kalisto upset Ryback, I think, is going to be the semifinals on the non-Roman side, and then the finals. I think things will get interesting now at Survivor Series if Reigns goes ahead and wins. Everyone, oh, it's so predictable. Mm-hmm. But I think going into the show, with Triple H kind of playing the role he did last night, I think there's at least some question as to who's going to come out on top, and even if it is Reigns, is he the heel? And so at least with that, there's a little bit of intrigue there, but they failed when it came to getting me excited about Survivor Series. I have to say that.
It was an interesting approach to put the women on last in the contract signing segment. It was interesting to have Undertaker and Kane out early and not really get heat back on the heels in any way, and to not have promos. It's so frustrating because they have 3 hours and 10 minutes every week, and we didn't hear a go-home promo from the Final Four. I know we're going to get that with Miz TV on SmackDown, but really, the largest audience, although not by the margin it used to be, is on Raw on Mondays. And it just seems like there should be a celebratory promo from a very happy Roman Reigns, you know, talking about what this means to advance. And I want to hear from Kevin Owens in a way where it makes me resent the hell out of him to want to see him get beat up. You know, that's the job of the heel.
I want to hear from Reigns and Owens about the possibility, or Reigns and Ambrose, about the possibility of facing in the finals.
Yes. So Ambrose goes out there and does his zany interview about how, you know, it's breakfast going to be lunch, and Fish Tank replaces Michael Cole. And, I mean, that's kind of funny. But I like zany, I like S.H.I.E.L.D. Dean Ambrose better than zany Dean Ambrose. And, it didn't make me think, oh, this is interesting. What if he has to plow through Roman Reigns to get there? And that is the selling point. It's not a matter of showing your hand. It's a matter of talking about the various possibilities. And so the way that the show was formatted, the tournament was set with time left in the show to get word from those wrestlers. Hey, Renee Young. Hey, Dean, did you hear, you know, I assume you know Roman Reigns won. How do you feel about the 50-50 shot? Okay, WWE math, but the one in, you know, the possibility that you'll face Roman Reigns in the finals. Talk about that. Get his reaction. It's like they don't know what to say, or I don't even know. I don't know what the excuse is. So, yeah, disappointing final hype for Survivor Series, but I like that they put the women on last, because since they don't have a one-on-one world title match to hype, I just think it elevates the Divas division that they're deemed, quote, worthy of being in the final segment. I think people almost take for granted that that would have been shocking and seemingly completely inappropriate a year ago. And now at least you can say that WWE is putting them in a position to be framed as that match being a big deal. Now they just have to go out and deliver a big match late in the show on Sunday so it doesn't feel, like just some lip service based on some formatting quirk.
I, as much as I want to see the women spotlighted in the right ways, I still felt like this was out of place. It felt like they were cramming them in at the last minute, trying to make this match feel more important than anyone thought it was anyway. If this had been something they started at the beginning of the month to really drive home the message that this is a big match, cool. But just out of the blue, I mean, that didn't feel like a big match before last night, and I don't know that it does now. I also kind of look at their recent numbers in viewership and wonder if that played a part in this. I mean, if they're really trying to send the message that, hey, it's a new era for women, we're going to do more, and we see that going forward, great. But last night just wasn't enough for me to be convinced that that they really are serious about this. I don't know if they thought the cheap line was enough to make it worthy. They're in Flair country, and we can go there. And I want to believe they're serious about the women. I need to see more.
Yeah, I don't blame you. All right, I want to get to phone calls, and we're going to begin with a VIP Express caller. Let me pull that part of the switchboard up here. Okay, this is Vinny calling from area code 505. Vinny, please confirm your name and the city you're calling from.
Yeah, hey guys, it's Vinny for sure. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Where are you calling
from? I'm brand new, Albuquerque.
Cool, yep. And brand new what?
Yeah, so I'm back to... brand new, back to VIP, I should say. Wade, I heard your interview on Austin's podcast, and I'm back, so I'm glad to be back. And Jason, nice to speak with you. I got three questions, and I'm going to get to the two WWE ones because we're talking about that now. And then I have a question for you, Jason, about your report on TNA and WGN. My first question to you guys is for the Final Four for Survivor Series. If you guys were to go ahead and have total control of creative, who would you put in that final match? And who would you, make as champ, to carry them over to WrestleMania? So that's question one. Question two, do you think the final segment with the women, do you think that they were trying to go for, it was disrespectful to me, but do you think they were trying to be too edgy? And do you think there will be some pushback from it, a lot of controversy in it? And then last, Jason, I see it on your website, you had a report about WGN TNA. Have you heard any about, any news about any type of TV deal, who else they're speaking with? And do you think WGN would be a good fit for them? And that's it, guys. I appreciate your time. And I'm glad to spend my birthday with you guys. Have a good one.
Happy birthday, Vinny. And thanks for going to VIP once again. Jason, go ahead and take those in any order you want.
Well, I'll start with TNA and WGN America, and I think we're at that point where we're going to be hearing a lot about TNA talking with this network, talking with that network, and until they can put pen to paper, then it's just everything's kind of a mystery. And so even though I'm definitely hearing that they're talking with different networks, I don't know that they have a deal. I don't know that they're close to a deal, but I just know that WGN America is a name that has come up along with some other networks. And so I'm not trying to say that they're close. I can't emphasize that enough because I don't know. Maybe they are. I can't tell you that they're not. But I think that WGN America was something that was teased last time. I think it was one of those things that Dixie Carter tweeted out, kind of trying to lead people down that path. She did something recently with responding to something about Spike TV that's kind of got people wondering about that. And I don't know that there's anything to that. But Destination America deal expiring. Ring of Honor, of course, leaving Destination America. And Wade, I don't know about you, but I assume TNA is next once their deal expires.
Yes, and I haven't heard a lot on TNA other than the usual suspects that come up anytime a TV deal comes up. It used to be FX back in the 90s. Now, of course, they're way above having a TNA-level program on FX in terms of the prestige and the quality of programming and ratings. But, the WGN-specific report that you're hearing is interesting because, I mean, I was almost starting to feel that they were just kind of preparing to shut down and giving up, that there just wasn't a viable option. I don't know if shutting down is the right word because maybe they would keep international deals and try to hang on for a while, but that there might not be U.S. tapings and U.S. access come January. I mean, they got to move quickly if they're going to remain on national cable. I know Dixie, just for so long from a pride standpoint, has not wanted to let the naysayers win. You know, it almost seems like that front office is driven by trying to prove that the people who said they wouldn't make it were wrong. But when you're just, scratching and clawing and clinging to fringe networks or doing so under terms that are not lucrative, I mean, you're hanging on, but it doesn't exonerate them from the criticism of the way that they promoted their product. And they have not at all times been bad, but at key times they have been. And they still have failed to have that identity that gives them, in a way, a reason to exist. You know, I mean, in 2015, I mean, you go back a dozen years, Jason, they wanted to be just, I know from talking to Jerry Jarrett in the time frame before TNA's launch, they wanted to basically just pick up the WCW audience that left and use the internet audience that missed them to buy those weekly pay-per-views. And they just, did some math and thought it would work out, and it just, America wasn't ready for paying a weekly fee for a wrestling show with no national TV to hype it. And then as time went on, it was either guys who were cast off from WWF, the 10 years ago VIP audio shows were running on the site, now are all about Christian leaving WWE. And it was just one guy after another came in. Some worked out. I thought Christian was fine. Kurt Angle certainly had some good stretches. The Dudleys certainly put in some work. Jeff Hardy's been good. I mean, not everybody by any means has been a bust, but there just wasn't that identity. And I part of me just sort of resigned to, like, well, even if they get another TV deal, I hate to be negative about it, but what's the point, Jason? You know what I mean? What's the point of their existence if they don't have new ideas and they're just going to be this really pale comparison to what WWE is, and they don't have the budget to really compete on any level.
I think, obviously, there's a lot of jobs at stake. From Dixie's perspective, I just don't know how much money there really is to make at this point. I know there's certainly reports of lucrative television deals in India, and they're going to India to tour. So, I mean, if they can make it work overseas, maybe you take a deal in the United States that would not have been attractive in any way, you know, in their previous negotiations. Maybe, you know, I don't know if you go so far as to do what Ring of Honor apparently did with Destination America, and, hey, here's our show, play it. You know, we'll just take the exposure. Because at least you get some built in, you're keeping people watching your program. I don't think you want to do that long term. You want to end up somewhere else, obviously. In a perfect world, of course, they're going to try to get a lucrative television deal. I just don't know how realistic it is. So I don't know if that would kind of be the thought, though, that, hey, we can still sell merchandise, we can still promote live events, and so we might not be able to get that big American television deal right now. But, hey, if we do our jobs well, maybe a year from now we can revisit this. I'm just completely guessing here. He mentioned, he asked how WGN America would be for TNA. I think certainly an upgrade from Destination America. I think most people have at least heard of WGN America, where I don't think that was the case with Destination America for most people until TNA and Ring of Honor went there. They have the Cubs. That's something, you know. Especially with the Cubs being a good baseball team now, if they can get some crossover promotion there, it would help. I just think when push comes to shove, TNA needs to operate. They need to be better creatively. They just need to be improve in so many areas to make this worthwhile. So there's not this miracle television deal that's going to keep them afloat type thing. It's all just kind of patching holes. They still need to fix the foundation of their company, and I don't know that they're equipped to do that.
Do you think that WWE was going for edginess, Jason? And will there be more of it with the introduction of Reed Flair? Really a jarring introduction. It really isn't something that they've spent a lot of time using on WWE TV to talk about the journey Ric Flair and Charlotte have been on in terms of mourning and coping with the death of their son and brother, respectively. It just felt jarring and therefore exploitative. It wasn't like Reed was a known guy, a known name who Charlotte on air, you know, the audience mourned his death with Charlotte, where you'd be like, okay, you know, the Von Erichs would talk about David. And they did so in exploitative ways a lot, but you could say, hey,
right,
the fans knew who David was, and it makes sense to have a David Von Erich memorial show, and there was a certain limit, a certain amount of mentioning David that felt appropriate. Then there's been other times, well, then there are a lot of times where it felt completely exploitative and inappropriate. You know, same thing with Eddie Guerrero. There's some of the tributes I think are tasteful. The angle with Rey Mysterio afterwards and his son and all, it just was terrible and tasteless. I wasn't the least bit shocked that WWE did what they did and had Charlotte say that, but I think it was jarring for the audience and just You know, Bruce Mitchell wrote a great column roughly a year ago in the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter that just said one of the reasons WWE has the bad reputation with advertisers and why they didn't have a lot of offers for their product. One of the reasons is they don't run their company. They don't have a history of being decent people. I mean, there's categories where they are. There's things that they do that are good, but there's these just obscene slip-ups in what most people would consider decency. And a promotion, and I talked about this in my hotline last night in my VIP Raw report, WWE doesn't make, they don't even pretend that it's real. You know, it's, hey, let's tune in after Raw to hear a bunch of wrestlers talk about how they came up with their characters. You know, I mean, like, you know, Triple H walks off Raw as the authority figure and on the network walks into the Steve Austin set and starts talking about running company and being a good guy who runs NXT and plays a bad guy on TV. So I think that sort of disqualifies them even more so, Jason, from trying to get, it makes it so ineffectual that it just makes no sense to bring Reed into it the way that they did.
Yeah, it's unnecessary, and I know everyone's going to have there's going to be defenders of this. There always are in situations like this because their entertainment is put in front of what's right and wrong. I just see this very cut and dry that it was gross. Does it put heat on Paige? I would argue with anyone over a certain age, no, because I think they see that for what it is. It's the company giving Paige a line to go out there and say about this woman's dead brother. And to me, that's heat on the company. That's not heat on the wrestler.
Yeah. Oh,
this isn't the kayfabe days.
Yeah.
You know that. So I don't think that works on most people anymore. If and you can say, well, if you're suspending your disbelief, I just don't go there. I just find it to be gross, unnecessary. I think there are other ways you can do it. And I really wonder if that's what got them so excited that they decided to put this segment on at the end of the show, was that she went for it. She agreed to do this. How do you even approach Charlotte and ask her to do this? I mean, how can you think that's acceptable? And if we start to hear the defenses, well, Charlotte signed off on it, and Rick was okay with it. We know that Reed's mother and Charlotte's mother was not okay with it. They did not approach her. She put out, made it clear on Twitter she was not okay with it. But if we start to hear that, how do you put someone in that position where you even ask them? How do you go to Charlotte and say, hey, we'd like to exploit the death of your brother. Are you okay with this? And she's new to the company. She could say no, but is there going to be backlash later? It's so gross.
And one of the problems I had with it too, Jason, is it's one thing if you're going to sell some tickets, if you're going to sell some network buys, sell some pay-per-views, you could go, okay, tasteless. But their obligation is, well, to the stockholders, and at least it's drawing money. And hey, if it works, you gotta consider the fact that, well, like, but I don't see how this works. It doesn't make sense. Even the line, I felt uncomfortable with the line that I'll keep fighting just like my dad and brother did. It's like her brother died of a drug overdose. He's not like somebody you would talk about in the context of, you know, he kept fighting. It'd be one thing if he fought to the very end with a disease that you know, through cancer, and put up a good fight, and it was like this feel good story. But she's like using her brother as inspiration, and I don't want to talk about Reed in this, you know, in this way. But when you talk about him as this inspirational story, he's going to keep fighting just like my brother. I think people who know what happened to Reed are thinking that doesn't feel right to me. There's something not really. It doesn't click about that phrase, and I don't really know what Charlotte means by that. And then, Jason, you have the vast majority who don't know what happened to Reed. So they're assuming it's some sad story.
Do they even know it was Reed? Did they mention him by name?
No, they didn't, but she only has one brother who died that I know of. But if they research...
But if you don't know, are you wondering if this is David who was actually on television?
That's true. You know what? I didn't even think of that aspect, and that's bad, too. But even if they said Reed's name or people researched it, they're going to find out, wait, he died how? Under what circumstances? And Charlotte's using... I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, you know, my brother got into a bad scene, and it was terrible, and I tried to save him, but it was too late. You know, like, if you're going to do a real story and make it match the facts and own it. But if you can't own the real story, don't have this weird fictionalized thing of he's an inspiration who kept on fighting just like my dad always did. It's just a sloppily written line that makes no sense to those who know, and there's not enough knowledge about Reed for it to really mean a lot to those who don't know what happened to Reed. So on a lot of levels, it just was sloppy and clunky and exploitative and tasteless. And I talked a lot about it yesterday on the Keller Hotline and in my Raw Report too. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's things about, in general, the idea of putting those two out there for contract signing at the end of the show that I liked, but the specifics of it felt kind of desperate. And I don't know if they were aiming for us to talk about it like this, Jason, hoping that that this would be controversial and get people, oh, did you hear what happened on Raw? And then people are like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Raw. I need to start watching it again. I think it's the wrong kind of attention that they're getting, and it is disappointing. But, again, I'm not surprised. I followed Vince McMahon for decades, and this is something that he just does. And you're right, it's disappointing that Charlotte and to a degree, Rick were under whatever circumstances, and I don't know Rick's position on it.
And I don't even know if they reached out to him. I'm hoping that they did, but they didn't reach out to the mother, so who knows?
Yeah. Jason, I want to take a moment here and give you a chance to plug your website and your membership.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now on the main page of ProWrestling.net, Will Pruitt's pause review of last night's Raw went up. He chimes in on this exact topic, the whole Reed Flair situation. My WWE Raw hit list with comments on that and the rest of the show. I mentioned Reed Flair's mother sounding off on this on Twitter, and I do have a story on that on the main page. So all the news of the day available at ProWrestling.net as always. On the member side of things, you can check out my weekly Q&A audio show where I answer ProWrestling.net member questions, both pro wrestling and non. We have some fun at the end with some non-wrestling stuff. And coming up on Thursday, .NET Weekly, Will Pruitt and I will get together and discuss all the news of the week, preview and offer our predictions for the Survivor Series show. And then Sunday night, I will get together with Jake Barnett, as he and I always do, for the WWE live specials, and we will provide analysis after the show, our Survivor Series audio review, plus all sorts of audio content in between. Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed get together and review the NXT and Ring of Honor shows in audio form as well. Most of these shows are available exclusively to .NET members, along with the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast with Will and Jake. And if you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. You can't miss the sign-up area. And once you're in there, you can choose from three different pricing options, annual, six-month, or monthly. If you want to try us out for 1 month, the price is $7.50. If you want to save yourself a little bit of money, go with the six-month. And if you want to go all the way to annual, the price breaks down. It drops all the way to $5.50 is what the average per month is. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net, along with all the stories I mentioned earlier. And you can follow me on Twitter. And if you have any questions, don't be afraid to ask me about it at ProWrestlingNet.
Excellent. And speaking of Twitter, since I often forget, you can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller and follow our brand at PW Torch and also follow our MMA brand at MMA Torch. So go ahead and go to Twitter and sign up and follow us if you have not yet. You are listening to the PW Torch livecast on Tuesday, November 17th, 2015. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Jason Powell, head honcho over at ProWrestling.net. We're talking about Raw, Nick Bockwinkel, Survivor Series, and more. We have so many callers and so little time. So we're going to ask everybody to try to limit yourself to one or two questions. Get to your point kind of quickly. No speeches today. You know, we want to know what you think, but we don't want you to meander or belabor any points because we just want to get to a lot of opinions because I really am curious to hear from a wide range of people on today's show. So we're going to try to move a little more swiftly through the latter portion of the program. And I want to go to another VIP Express caller here. So bear with me while I manage that. And let's go to Matt from North Carolina next. Matt, thanks for holding so long. Please state please confirm this is you and give us your question or comment.
It's me.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, first thing was I was just going to make a note. I remember you guys, I think it was last 2 weeks ago, you were talking about the network debuting in India. And you guys were talking about, you know, what does that mean considering, you know, it's broadcast in English and stuff like that. So I was just going to make a note. English is actually the dominant language in India.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm going to pass that on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, yeah. You know, we're so I'm going to speak very generically about us Americans, that we are so self-centered and have such a low percentage who are fluent in another language, and those who do know another language, frankly, is spread out with Spanish and French and German and others. And so, yeah, in other parts of the world, it's pretty standard, or, you know, very, very likely that a high percentage of people would know English as a primary or secondary language. So, good point.
Yeah, it's actually the dominant language. It's the first spoken English even above anything else.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But, yeah, I just have a bunch of Indian friends, so I thought I'd throw that note out there.
Yeah, appreciate it. I have a bunch of Indian friends, and I didn't know that because I just smell their great curry and love their food. Indian food's my favorite food. I didn't know that, so I have something to impress them with now.
Yeah, paneer tikka masala would be my last meal if I had to choose.
What would be? I'm sorry?
But paneer tikka masala.
What's in that?
Mitsuhara masala.
Yeah, so paneer is the cheese, and then the tikka is the butter, and the masala is like the spicy, almost like a curry sauce.
Cool.
And you eat it with the garlic knot. It's amazing. But anyhow,
sounds good.
These three-hour Raws are dreadful. What do you think about the idea for WWE so that they didn't lose any advertising dollars if they took that NXT show that everybody's raving about and get such good reviews and high praise, and they moved in that first hour slot and made Raw 2 hours afterwards? So that way they'd be getting all the same advertising money, and at the same time, Raw wouldn't be so watered down. Is that like a viable option?
Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, we get this about once a month, and could they theoretically? Yes, if USA would sign off on it. Should they? I vote no. If you want NXT to be what NXT is, You don't want that to happen. That's when Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn become heavily involved. They probably don't tape the show at Full Sail. They probably move it to the same venue as Raw, and it just loses its charm. Even if it's the identical show, I think some of the mystique weight, as you've talked about, is that it's a little bit underground. It's on the network. It's promoted. But it doesn't have that worldwide exposure, like, you know, on USA Network. And I just really fear what that show would become, and I kind of worry about what it would do to just developmental in general. How, you know, would we start some of these acts be overexposed before it was time? And there's a long list of reasons that I have for why I think it would probably do decent numbers, but I, at the same time, I just like to leave it where it is if it's up to me.
Yeah, and I think you still end up with some of the same problems. You know, you're asking people to sit for over 3 hours. I went to an ROH show on Saturday night. They wanted me to sit for 3 hours and 40 minutes in a building with very little oxygen by the end. And even though it was a mid-November day, it was hot.
No, that's just because you were with Pooch.
That might be part of it. But I actually heard from people even closer to the ring thinking it was just the lights, you know, for the taping, and it wasn't. Even where I was sitting more in the bleachers for the show, it was hot. But nevertheless, the point is, you know, asking people to watch for three straight hours anyway is challenging. But yeah, I think if Vince McMahon thought what NXT was doing would draw ratings, he'd be doing it on Raw. And so I think the second NXT becomes vital to drawing ratings, it's going to end up with Vince McMahon's fingerprints all over it. He would not give it the independence that people like. So I think if you like NXT, you should hope that doesn't happen. And I think, you know, I think they have. Todd Martin made this argument on the Fix with Todd Martin on his VIP show, I think 2 weeks ago. You know, looking at the revenue for WWE, you can make the case that they could actually afford, because of how much revenue they're making in so many different places, the losing 1 hour of Raw isn't that big of a blow. They make a lot of money from TV, as James Caldwell pointed out in his report on PW Torch, but the fact is if they drop that third hour of Raw because it is just crippling their booking and overexposing their talent and wearing out their audience and spreading, you know, the audience thin, where they're not watching through all 3 hours, a big drop-off again this week from hour one to hour three. And by the way, James Caldwell had a report up at pwtorch.com a few days back talking about the statistics of ratings, where each hour last week the viewership dropped, but each hour last week DVR viewership went up. So what's happening is a lot of people are watching, and it's still, you know, 10% give or take, but a lot of people are watching the third hour who don't watch it live, because 3 hours is a lot to sit through at one sitting. So I think even if the product like NXT was fresher, a lot of the same problems would exist with it being 3 hours, and they might not do a lot better in that third hour. I think there's so many things that are fixable about the three-hour format that I think they should do that first before damaging or ruining NXT, which is, you know, one of the things I'm glad exists in its own kind of separate bubble. Matt, any follow-up from you before we move on?
I think it would be... I wish it would work out, because I think it'd be a good way for Vince to kind of let Triple H kind of, you know, run the show and watch how he does, and then give him feedback, but let him run his own thing. I think it'd be
I just don't think he'd let. I don't think he'd trust a product as different as NXT is from his vision, taking up an hour on NBC Universal, because I think Vince would convince himself that it would be. There's a better word than this, but disrespectful or I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but a violation of what NBC Universal signed up for. They signed up for Vince McMahon's vision of pro wrestling, and I think he believes that would be letting them down and not fulfilling his contract by putting some other person's vision, even under his auspices, on that hour. I don't think he'd look past that and experiment enough to find out if the ratings would be better or not. Matt, we got to run because we got so many people on hold. Thanks for calling. Give us a call later in the week too if you want to continue a conversation on other topics. Let's go ahead and go next to area code 478. 478, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Darrell from Georgia.
Hey, Darrell, and what do you got for us? Yeah.
Okay. With the tactless segment that they did last night for Raw with the Divas, and with how Vince keep going down the same line, is it okay for us fans to think that we'll probably won't get good wrestling or just good storylines for a while until somebody else take over for Vince? And the second question is, with the zany promo that Dean Ambrose did, and with them dropping the Fallout from Raw, and him and Roman Reigns was cutting a promo about how they're going to respect each other and bring honor back to the title. Do you think that's a telling sign that Dean Ambrose probably won't make it to the finals and shouldn't?
All right, Earl, thanks. The first question is kind of generic, and I do think Vince is pretty stuck in his ways, Jason, but you know, I think what you see is what you're going to see from Vince for a while until viewership drops more and network numbers start dropping, but we talk about that all the time. What about a second point on Dean Ambrose?
What was the second part?
Oh, the second point is, does the way that Dean approached that interview give away that he won't be in the finals against Roman Reigns? How did you interpret the interview with him?
You know, I really didn't read too much into it. I mean, that's the thing, is I don't know where they're going with that match. You could look at that interview as, okay, he brought up the no suit, no tie. Is that kind of a red herring to throw everybody off when he shows up wearing the suit and tie and he's the new guy that's with the Authority next week? But I didn't want to read too much into that either. And so I don't know who's winning that match. I don't know if they will go with Owens to the finals against Reigns. If I would like to think if they were going Ambrose and Reigns, they really would have tried to do more with that last night, but at a different time, I'd be paying more attention to that and kind of reading into it that, oh, maybe they're not going there and they didn't want to get people's hopes up. But they're not in a great place creatively right now. I'm just kind of tying it back into the first question. I don't think it means we're not going to see any good storylines. I mean, Vince still has his moments, and I really wonder how good Survivor Series would have been. I thought they got off to a great start with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, but unfortunately Seth got hurt and things just kind of went downhill from there.
All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to area code 770. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Jimmy from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks for calling. What do you got for Jason and me?
A couple quick questions. Am I missing something, or are we not having a Survivor Series match this year, like the 5-on-5 standard?
You got it on Raw last week. What are you complaining about? You got it for free. No, you're right. They did. I think a lot of people were hoping for and expecting that. And, there isn't one in the lineup, right, Jason? Nothing got added today.
Well, I think there probably will be tonight, I'm guessing. I don't know what they will add. There's certainly room on the lineup that I think SmackDown will be filled with match additions. I mean, they haven't even announced a kickoff show match yet. So it's weird that they didn't even plug the kickoff show. Maybe it's because they know everyone will be watching the Packers and Vikings at that time.
That's right. Yes. Oh, man. Jimmy, anything else?
Well, I'm going to Survivor Series, and I'm kind of disappointed, man, to be honest with you. I didn't know what I was missing, but I guess nothing.
Well, you know, I'm not sure that I'm a huge fan myself of the Survivor Series match. I mean, I get that it's a tradition, and you kind of look for that, but I think we get enough multi-person matches. It doesn't jump out as, like, this big sales. It's not like something that's going to just really boost sales to the network. WWE did the Survivor Series in that format originally, just to counter Starrcade, just to try to be a predator when it came to WCW trying to get a foothold in pay-per-view, and they didn't want to give away house show matches, which are what Vince thought really drew money. What draws money are one-on-one matches that you can sell with a rivalry between two guys, and the tag matches were kind of his way. Throw these multi-person tag matches out there so that he wouldn't take money away from what really draws. He just wanted Survivor Series to be there as a leverage piece for cable companies that didn't have multiple pay-per-view channels at that point to carry more than one live event, to choose him over WCW Starrcade 87 so that in order to get WrestleMania next year, you had to agree as a cable company to carry Survivor Series. It was a leverage move, and the 5-on-5 matches were kind of seen by him originally as sort of like, well, just sort of filler to not cost them those one-on-one matches that really draw money. And so, yeah, people see it as a tradition. They have warm, fuzzy feelings for it. But I don't think Vince looks at it as letting fans down, that he's not giving them a bunch of 5-on-5 matches. That said, I think the Survivor Series is sort of synonymous with that, and I would like to see one match get added to keep people who are looking for the nostalgia of that kind of happy. It's just sort of a annual marker. It's not necessarily been there every year, but I don't think he sees it as holding back something that fans really want, but I think he underestimates that people kind of want at least one of those on the show. Does that seem fair, Jimmy?
Yeah. Well, one last question, Wade.
Sure.
Who can I email Sunday night after Survivor Series for the inside?
Who can you email to what?
Yeah, who do I send the email to just to let you know the dark matches and everything?
Oh, yeah, pwtorch@gmail.com, and you can CC me directly. at kellerwade@gmail.com. We certainly welcome that. If you want to send them to Jason, too, Jason, what's your email for people to reach out to you?
.netjason@gmail.com, DOTNETJASON@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. I will definitely be trying to send both of y'all one to switch you inside.
Thank you, Jimmy. Cool. Appreciate it. All right, let's go next to area code 952, home of the Minnesota Vikings area code. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Brian, and I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Brian, thanks. What have you got for us?
Just really one question. Just want to hear your guys' take, and the other caller brought it up with NXT. My girlfriend is a school teacher, and on Friday of last week, they had a casual day, so she wore the Bailey I'm a Hugger t-shirt, and she told me that several students knew what NXT was and liked it. So
wow.
There's a lot of fans, you know, my age, maybe in their 20s or a little bit older, who really like that NXT brand, but I hear it in the crowd, and it's starting to, I get the sense that it is the young person's thing. They want to gravitate toward that, like when Coke was for the World War II veterans because they gave it to them for free. They didn't want to drink their parents' drink, so they started drinking Pepsi as a form of rebellion. I see NXT kind of in that vein where there's a chance that NXT could, and in some ways it is more cool than WWE branding is. As you guys have kept saying, it's overexposed, and what's really cool is that's the thing that you can't quite always have or hold, and that's NXT. It's a little elusive, as you guys have talked about. What does WWE do with that equity? Because I feel like it's just kind of sitting there, and the WWE brand itself is slowly declining while NXT is rising. Do you think they should co-opt that and maybe try that on and maybe make a new developmental? Or what should WWE do to brand those, you know, fourth, fifth graders down to second, third graders who knew what NXT was and they loved it? It was like, that's the thing. Not WWE, not that, not Raw, but NXT. Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah. Jason, you know, you and I have talked about it for a long time on the show. If NXT got too big, it failed, it would cease to be technically developmental territory, and it would kind of become something different. And I think it is at a point where it has become something different. I do think it's, for a lot of people, not Raw or SmackDown viewership numbers, but a lot of people, a great alternative, and I think people who watch it like it for the reasons that I like it. I think it's got... It reminds me of what wrestling has almost all. It has, it checks way more boxes of what has drawn money in the professional wrestling industry over the last 50 years in the TV era, with updates for 2015, appropriate updates, than the current WWE product, and for that matter, TNA also. It's closer to what has always worked. I think Vince is still stuck with some bad habits from the Monday Night War era, and certainly he's, I don't know if handcuffed is a word, but cursed with this 3-hour. Raw format that limits, that spreads things thin and wears things out. But a lot of it is just, he and Kevin Dunn and that production team and the booking staff they're not bending on some of the bad habits and cruise control that they're on when it comes to certain things. NXT is a fresh set of ideas and visions and executions, and it's working. And I think, of course, kids are going to like it who watch it, because I think, for one, Bailey is an incredibly big money making opportunity if WWE doesn't ruin her when they bring her up to the main roster.
Oh, exactly, and it's the younger talent as well. I mean, it's, you know, hey, Finn Balor's in his 30s now. It's not like he's in his 20s, but you're more likely to see younger talent in NXT than you are on the main roster, and I think that, combined with everything you're saying, is a big part of the success. I think we've preached for years, too, that they need to get younger, and instead this year you look at the main events, and while they've done well with special attractions and they're trying to sell the network, I get the strategy, I still think there's room for some of that younger talent to make its way to Raw and be positioned properly, rather than just kind of like Tyler Breeze is losing his first tournament match and beating R-Truth, and you know, no one's really all that excited right now. We're kind of wondering what his future holds. Where at NXT, he meant something, and so I think they can learn from NXT about going, being a little more youthful, not just going with Sting and Undertaker and just the usual suspects. I think that's been a big key. It's just a different flavor across the board, but also the talent itself. And it not being afraid that when you bring in Samoa Joe, well, we need to start him at the bottom because we have our goofball politics and he has to earn his stripes. No, Samoa Joe comes in, he means something. And it's not just him. When others come into NXT, they don't have to start at the bottom and play the game. If it makes sense to insert them into a big match right out of the gate, they go with it. And that's just something that Vince McMahon has been reluctant to do unless it's a guy from the Attitude Era.
That there are things that Vince is so stuck on that where I just you just shake your head watching at the lost opportunities. And the fact that, you know, women headlined Raw last night, one of the reasons that I'm trying to, while criticizing the tastelessness of the Reed angle, talk about it on a separate plane, which is that's something that Vince has not often in history done. And it might be a sign that he's cracking a little bit and going, yeah, we can't just rely on Undertaker at the end or Roman Reigns at the end, and we don't have John Cena, we don't have Randy Orton, we don't have Seth Rollins. How do we fill this show? Well, one of the places they can lean is Paige, who's this really refined, polished heel act, and Charlotte, who's got the Ric Flair connection and is seems likable and can deliver in the ring enough to have respect, more than respectable matches on TV, and hopefully develops more on promos, obviously. To me, that's sort of a small victory, maybe even a bigger than a small victory. It's a sign that maybe he's willing to change a little bit, but I think he's got to brainstorm and come up with more new ideas. All right, I want to move to the next caller, and we'll try to fit a few more in before we go here. Area code 404, you're up next in the 919 on deck. 404, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Matt from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Matt, thanks for calling. What have you got for Jason and me?
Hey, real quick, I'm going to take 20 seconds. Where do you think Sami Zayn goes when he comes back? Does he go back to NXT, or does he go back to, or does he go to the main roster, probably the feud with Kevin Owens? And this Sunday, I will be going to Survivor Series. It's going to be my first time seeing The Undertaker.
Oh, wow.
Live. I just want to know, is there a wrestler that you guys grew up on that you had to see live or that you regret never seeing live? Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Matt. Matt, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
How old are you? How long have you been watching wrestling?
24. I've been watching wrestling. I came in kind of late. My parents really didn't let me watch it during the Attitude Era, but I came in around the time that Cena was actually coming up when he was when he beat Big Show at WrestleMania 20. That's when I came in.
Yeah, so first time to see Taker. That's pretty cool. Yeah, Jason. Well, take either one first. Seeing certain wrestlers in person does take on a certain there's a certain aura to seeing certain wrestlers in person. Anybody come to mind over the last several decades that you've been watching wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of guys that I guess would be from the generation before I started watching, just more so on reputation. But I guess guys that I just didn't get a chance to see for whatever reason. Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, even though he was AWA champion, I just wasn't able to, as a young fan, get to those shows. So those, I guess those are a couple that come to mind. But, I mean, I saw WWE in the early WrestleMania years and saw so many people come through there and then other AWA eras, but I never got to see those two.
Yeah, there's a lot of Japanese wrestlers that I haven't seen in person. I was actually
sure.
At one point going to take a trip to Japan in the early 90s, and I was just late on getting my passport, and I almost flew to Chicago to get a passport on an emergency basis so that I could make it in time to go on the Japan trip, and it just didn't work out because you can actually, at that time, I don't know how it is now, but yet you can apply for a passport and wait for it to come in the mail and all that, and it can take whatever, however many weeks. But there's a couple hubs in the country where you can actually get in line and wait, but you have to sit there for like 8 hours. But they'll give you one on an emergency basis. Chicago is one of them. But it just ended up not working out, so I didn't make it to Japan. I have been to Tijuana, Mexico, and I got to see Conan and Rey Mysterio and Perro Aguayo Jr. And, I mean, just so many wrestlers at a real peak time for that territory and in that city watching wrestling. And that was cool watching it in the front row at a bull ring. So I got to see some of the Japanese stars in their own set, or Mexican wrestlers in their own setting, which was very cool. And then the next night, actually two nights later, I saw the same crew at the LA Sports Arena. And then in between that, ended up watching Hulk Hogan fight Vader on the beach, which was a weird.
Oh, that's right.
It was a great 1-2-3. Although Dave Meltzer and I spent a good part of the undercard body surfing in the ocean, and ended up watching the pay per view later on delay. The undercard matches, we were a little delinquent, but the weather was just too nice. But nevertheless, I've seen just about everybody. I mean, you know, seeing Terry Funk and Ric Flair in person were two people I wanted to see, but I ended up, you know, seeing them, you know, in the '80s, pretty. It took, I think, 89 was the first time I saw Funk in person, and I got to see him a few times at WCW. I shot ringside photos in Chicago with Ric Flair against Terry Funk in a bloody battle, one of my favorite memories as a photographer. But man, I've seen just about everybody, or I just expect I will. You know, I haven't seen Finn Balor in person yet, but I fully expect I will.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. But anyway, our time's limited. I want to talk about Sami Zayn, speaking of NXT in terms of the Finn Balor reference. Does he come back, Jason, to the main roster or go back to NXT for a while and kind of get healthy and wait for the right time?
I'm guessing he goes back to NXT, but I don't think it's going to be a long stay because they kind of it was like he was up for that one match. And so I would assume rehab's going to be down there when the time comes for him to get back in the ring. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see him do a live special or just, you know, appear on some television tapings. But I'm guessing it's not going to be a long wait.
All right. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking he goes to NXT first, but I'm not that far off from 50-50 on it, because I think it really depends on if WWE needs him once he's healthy and if he feels he needs to warm up at all. But he could even do some house show matches for WWE before that. One guy asked about developmental if NXT, with NXT taken off, and I do think the World Wrestling Network, Gabe Sapolsky relationship with maybe Gabe running indie shows in Florida where NXT used to run spot shows and having the top NXT names work around the country touring could kind of have a double-A, triple-A, major league relationship or dynamic like baseball does. I think we could see something like that where there's a third layer to developmental and NXT is kind of the middle stop on the way to the main roster but also designed to be a moneymaker. And also, it makes sense to give wrestlers a chance to work in front of different crowds in different parts of the country. And if the NXT brand catches on enough with network subscribers, they can draw good enough crowds in smaller venues that WWE won't run, that it can work out well for everybody. Add a little extra revenue, help developmental, and give people a chance to see NXT wrestlers in person if they're familiar with them from the network. And, of course, most of all, it will continue to develop the talent. Okay, up next, 919, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Josh from Orlando.
Hey, Josh, thanks for calling. What have you got for Jason and me?
Yeah, I'm not going to defend the whole Charlotte and Paige thing, although I did like it. I do understand it was, like, tasteless and, you know, and not okay. But do you think it's, like, an age thing? Because I just came from the NXT line for the tickets here at Full Sail. And most of us, we liked it.
Oh, interesting.
We were fine with it.
The fans standing in line for NXT at Full Sail liked Charlotte bringing up Reed specifically, or just kind of in general, like seeing Charlotte and Paige, NXT grads, on the big stage in the main segment.
Well, yeah, we liked that they were on the big stage, but most of us didn't really have a problem with it. I guess we understood why WWE would do that. I mean, yeah, it was tasteless. Yes, it was, you know, but I don't think, at least to us, it could be an age thing. But, you know, not to calling you guys old, but it could be an age thing that it really just wouldn't matter to, like, the younger crowd.
Okay, yeah. So are you going to NXT tonight?
It's Thursday.
Oh, okay. Just I was wondering, yeah, Thursday. If you're picking up. Is that how that works? You pick up tickets on Tuesday and then go Thursday? Is that the normal pattern?
Yeah, they usually just have a few tickets for the students on Tuesday, and then Thursday is the show.
Okay, cool. Are you going to do you normally send us results, or would you be able to if you don't?
I don't normally send results, but I guess I could record them down.
Yeah, well, I'm putting you on the spot here, but it'd be great if you do. I mean, it's always good to get
you know, results from those shows. And usually we have correspondence, but it's always good to get a couple different reports. I went to the ROH show Saturday, and it was really actually fun reading other people's perspectives on the show. So we always like to get multiple reports too. But no guarantee you won't be the only one to help record history. But Josh, don't appreciate the feedback. Hey, we're open to differing opinions. I haven't.
Could I sneak in with a quick question?
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Josh, what were people in line negative about? I mean, this is a wrestling crowd that's waiting in line to go to get tickets, and I'm not saying that they're not going to be critical of some things, but I'm just curious. I mean, was it just overzealous fans, or just even, you know, just people that weren't thinking about issues, weren't being negative about the product? They're just more likely to be excited about going to NXT, for instance, and being around other wrestling fans.
Well, the NXT, it's a usual thing for us, so, I mean, we're excited, but it's not like, you know, like we're super excited. But, you know, sometimes we talk about the past Raw, and I didn't hear anybody say, oh, that was, you know, that wasn't cool that they used that or whatever. If anything, they were just saying, oh, that was bad of Paige, maybe speaking about the character Paige saying that. But most of it was, they were just like, man, we were talking more so about the brawl afterwards.
Well, the brawl was good. With those two. I mean, I think they could have done the segment, Jason. Really, Josh, thanks for the call, and have fun Thursday. Appreciate it. Hope we get results from you. Jason, I thought they could have done everything they did minus Reed. It just had Paige be obnoxious and have Charlotte come across as confident and wanting to show up Paige, and just the story. The story is enough. I won the title. You want it back. You turned on me. You don't have honor. I'm going to fight with honor and show I'm the better wrestler, and then end up with an intense brawl over something else other than that. And I think what happened is they wanted to give fans and viewers of Raw that hard sell at the end of this, you know, this memorable, intense brawl. But what would set Charlotte off to go after Paige that way? I think you can do it another way and just have the segment end and have Paige look Charlotte in the eye and say, you might say you're going to fight honorably and beat me on Sunday. I'm not going to fight honorably. I'm going to destroy you, but I'm going to do so while also taking back the championship and look her in the eye. And that, you'd think that's the end. And then Charlotte turns and Paige attacks her and they have a big brawl. I mean, you can actually go to the basics and trust the title belt and the rivalry between them, the personal existing rivalry and the established personalities, and then the prestige of the title and fighting for it to be enough. I mean, it really was enough for Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm to do that, and I think WWE sold short the ability of Paige, especially, and Charlotte, to just sell the championship and have Paige be heelish and not have to, quote, go there. Because I think, in a sense, Jason, we spent a lot more time talking about Reed than we did talking about the brawl at the end that upped the intensity going into a women's title match that's, I think, hard to match.
Well, absolutely, and if you really want, you know, I think it would have connected with more fans had she gone after Ric Flair, if you really felt the need to have that trigger, and I'm not saying they should. I mean, there's plenty she could go after where Charlotte could get just as worked up and it wouldn't be considered in poor taste, but I'm with you. I look forward to the day when they don't need to do this, and not that they had to here, but they obviously felt like they needed some extra juice. I know you're very high on Paige, and I am too as far as her performance and a lot about her. I kind of feel like she's been overexposed. I want this to feel like a showdown match, but she's just like a week or two removed from being pinned by Becky Lynch. You know, it should. They kind of dropped the ball along the way in building up to this moment too.
Well said. All right, let's go next to 864. 864, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, it's Charles Sitton from Morby, South Carolina.
Hey, Charles, thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Well, guys, like y'all already talked about it pretty much, but I'm going to say, like, I'm 26, so I'm probably along the same age as the previous caller, and I completely disagree with what he just said. Like, it was just completely tasteless. Like, I have a roommate, and he overheard it, and he was like, surely that's just in the storyline. No way they're talking about an actual dead person who died of an overdose. And so I was like, yeah, it actually happened. And for WWE, the executives, whoever's in charge, to let, they say, okay, we're going to allow that to happen, that was really tasteless. And I feel like a lot of, like, the casual audience probably didn't get it because they're not all up, like, they don't know all the details about what happened. But for if they look it up and see, like, what actually happened, I feel like they'll be really turned off for that and think that was in horrible taste. And with that being said, like, after that, it pretty much sums it up that Charlotte has to win at Survivor Series because you can't have that happen and have Paige actually win. So, like, I feel like you kind of, like, already gave the finish of the match anyway. So, that's pretty much all I had to say.
Charles, thank you. No, I appreciate the alternative perspective, too. Jason, any reaction?
I think they are building to Charlotte and Sasha for somewhere down the road. And so, yeah, I would be surprised if we saw Charlotte drop the championship before we get that match.
Yeah. All right, let's go next to 616. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
This is Eric from Grand Rapids. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks for calling, Eric, again. What do you got for us?
I got a question I wanted to ask when Bob Backlund was, when we had Bob Backlund a few weeks ago, and a comment about Nick Bockwinkle. How come Andre never really got any title shots from Bob? Was it Vince McMahon Sr. didn't want two faces battling each other? And my Nick Bockwinkle question comment was, I just remember him as commentating for the Ladies Professional Wrestling Association in the AWA with Rod Trongard, and that's all I got.
Eric, what would your finish be for Bob Backlund and Andre?
Probably Bob Backlund on a DQ, but it'd be a friendly match, not a. I don't know how Vince Senior was with those. That'd have been my finish. But thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That wasn't Andre's role. Andre didn't go after championships. Andre was a special attraction. He was, I wouldn't say bigger than the championship, but different than the championship. This is something Bruce Mitchell and I went into great detail on in the Bruce Mitchell audio show, talking extensively about Bob Backlund. We did a live cast interview with Bob Backlund. The full version is VIP exclusive, but a big portion of it is available at pwtorchlivecast.com. If you just page through the archives back a few weeks. And we interviewed the author of his book also, Rob Miller, the week before that in depth. And it's a little bit of a blur in terms of when the Andre-Bob dynamic came up, but I believe that was covered. And it probably was a Bruce Mitchell audio show. But yeah, I mean, that just wasn't Andre's role. Andre wasn't a guy that they wanted to put in title matches, and they didn't have to. You know, Andre drew by putting him against a heel who fans wanted to see Andre beat up. People didn't want to be torn, should I cheer or boo Andre? Should I cheer or boo Bob? You're putting fans in an uncomfortable position. The awkwardness of somebody as good as Andre not getting a title shot, was, you know, or the people going, why doesn't he ever get a title, is small compared to the awkwardness of actually giving him a title shot and having the fans' allegiance be split and having to somehow come up with a finish that protected both guys. It was not common for a reason to even do face-versus-face matchups, and Andre just wasn't the right guy for that. Jason, if you have anything to add to that, you can. Otherwise, we can move
on. Yeah, I think you summed it up well.
Good. All right. Let's go ahead and go to another call here. By the way, as always, and not that we need more callers right now, but you have to push 1 on your Touchtone phone if you call us, and I need to remind people of that. Sometimes people call up and forget. You're in the background queue unless you push 1, and that means you're ready to participate on the show. So if you didn't know that and we're on hold, that explains why we didn't get your call. So always push 1 on your Touchtone phone once you call in if you want to participate. Let's go next to 914. 914, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, guys. It's Sean from Stamford, Connecticut calling.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I just have a comment about Raw. It's kind of become the show where nothing happens, you know, where I don't really want to go back and watch anything in particular. I mean, I vote on Jason's site every week. You know, basically, I vote that it's an awful show the last few weeks. And, you know, part of it is that I don't know. Well, I'll get to my question. Basically, I don't know what they are trying to accomplish with a guy like Kalisto in putting him in the tournament to begin with. Who's really winning by having him there? Certainly Ryback doesn't gain anything by losing. So that's just kind of my question. Like, there just never seems to be an end game with anybody. Like, there's no plan.
Jason, talk about Kalisto, because Sean brings up an interesting point. They built Kalisto up as this ultimate underdog. They told the story of him beating Ryback to maybe build up the idea that maybe he'll score an upset in the quarterfinals also. It gave Del Rio a chance to be a heelish guy against a fellow countryman. I mean, did they tell enough of a story there for it to make sense that Kalisto was in the tournament, setting aside the fact that Brock Lesnar and John Cena were not, but they haven't been explained as being unhealthy or too injured to participate?
No, I have no idea from a storyline standpoint why Kalisto or Titus O'Neil or Tyler Breeze would be in that tournament. And I think he won the match against Ryback because basically they wanted to have one upset. You know, they didn't want it to be completely predictable, and so someone had to go over. I'm hoping it means they have some plans for him. I will be disappointed if all of a sudden we just see the Lucha Dragons back, trading wins and losses on superstars, and really going nowhere. So if they follow up with this, then maybe we'll look back and go, okay, they actually had something planned for this guy. But I know it wasn't that long ago they were working toward Lucha Dragons and New Day, and it looks like that's off. So I don't know that they really had anything set for him. And, boy, that match with Del Rio, what a mess that turned out to be. The poor guy gets unmasked on live television. Oh.
And I didn't think Kalisto was all that impressive on his little soundbite interview or just charismatically. I just don't know that. I mean, he's fine. He's okay.
I thought he was okay.
He was okay. But if you're going to put him in the world title tournament, I would think that you're thinking, hey, maybe, I hope you're thinking, maybe we can elevate him. Maybe he can be our new Rey Mysterio. If they were hoping for that, I didn't see that in his performance. Just the subtleties, the eyeball test. Does he have, as Conan used to tell me it's called in Mexico, the angel, the it factor, the X factor, that intangible charisma that some people have and some people don't. And I just think he came up short on that front. I don't think the soundbite interview they gave was all that endearing. It wasn't bad. He needs to be excellent in that regard to be the right choice to get kind of that push. And I just didn't come away from this thinking it was anything but kind of a one-time stunt to get a babyface Hispanic in the title tournament in WWE's attempt to shore up that demographic. And I think they did it at the expense of making storyline sense. But as a consolation, I like the idea that he was the upset kid with a win over Ryback, and that they set him up as, you know, a upset potential kid against Del Rio, and that Del Rio advancing kind of, you know, stomped out his dream.
Yeah, I think if you're going to have a masked wrestler in WWE that looks like Rey Mysterio, you better have a good backstory for him. There better be more to him than, hey, he looks like Rey Mysterio. And that's kind of where we're at with Kalisto. Rey was really well protected in WWE. You know, he was special. Here you've had Sin Cara swing and miss, two different versions of Sin Cara swing and miss. So I think if I'm all for you doing more with Kalisto. I think the guy's very talented. I do feel like the it factor is there in his in-ring work, but I liked the promo last night just in terms of, hey, this guy can talk. It wasn't so much what he said, but it was like, okay, he's already convinced me he's a better promo than Rey Mysterio, so that's good. But I want to know more about this. Why is he wearing the mask? What's this guy's story? And until we get that, it's just going to be, hey, there's another Rey Mysterio clone.
Yeah, and I think he was more articulate than Ray, but I think he was less endearing. You know, I didn't talk
yeah,
come across.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, he didn't come across like kind of that underdog, that likable underdog type thing. I don't know. It's hard to put my finger on it. But I was hoping when they said let's go to comments from Kalisto that he was going to show fire and not in a cartoonish way, but really connect. And I just didn't feel that connection with him. And so I think he does some nice moves. And that might be enough for a token lower card slot. I didn't see this as his coming out party to be the next kind of big, you know, Ray-like star in that respect. Okay, let's squeeze in, I believe, an international call here. If you heard a beep, this is you. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, it's Aaron Lee here, and calling from New Orleans by way of Sydney, Australia phone number. To answer your question earlier, Wade, yes, you can still get emergency visas and passports. As an international journalist, I have to do that quite often. To go to what Jason said earlier about the special attractions, I've been watching pro wrestling for nearly 40 years. I grew up in Shreveport near Bill Watts, the Irish Neil McDonald. Boys Club, which is was the home of Mid-South Wrestling for their television tapings for Bill Watts. And I've been sticking around for the last decade primarily just to get a glimpse of some of those special attractions. And last night's Raw was just, yeah, I think it could have been just the icing on the cake for me. It's just too much. I canceled my WWE Network after seeing Sting misused at WrestleMania. And last night while I was watching Raw, I was really bored while watching The Undertaker and Kane, which was a complete shock to me, because I don't care about the Wyatt family. I don't care about any of these guys like Cesaro or Owens, or I really didn't really care much about Daniel Bryan. I mean, every time I saw him, he just did the kicks. But they don't reference that The Undertaker beat Bray Wyatt just 6 months ago at WrestleMania. So obviously his evil is greater than Bray Wyatt's evil one-on-one. Last night we have Paige and obviously Charlotte, but no one is mentioning the fact that Paige just lost to, I guess, an unranked contender, Becky Lynch, in the European Tour just a few days ago. I can't imagine in the UFC a Ronda Rousey or a Holly Holm getting a title shot a week after they're defeated by an unranked challenger. There's just no reality to it anymore. Well, am I missing something?
No. You bring up good points. First of all, if Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Cesaro aren't doing it for you, and Undertaker and other, you know, it might be a generational thing, but you might be out of luck. You know, I mean, because Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens and Cesaro are that kind of, for a lot of people, are frustrated with Raw, the highlights of the show the last couple of years in that respect. But I mean, WWE's not framing things way into Jason where you would think that they're important enough to really invest in. You know, they beat down and battered Daniel Bryan, and I'm sure it did turn some people off to him. Kevin Owens, you know, looked like he was going to be the Cena killer and then lost two in a row, and now just kind of upper mid-card. Cesaro, you know, tons of jobs. He's the guy who makes other wrestlers who Vince likes more look good. That's a problem. But he brings up a good point that they're not respecting their own history enough to make you care about the history in the making. In other words, why should we care what happens at Survivor Series on Sunday if in 6 months whatever happens there will be ignored? Why should we care about what happens on Raw tonight if in 2 weeks somebody who loses is suddenly going to be getting a title shot? There is a benefit to framing what you do in a way where it feels relevant after the fact, and it does seem like Vince has a very short-term memory when it comes to respecting that kind of detail, and I think he brings up a good point in that regard.
I do, too, and I think those guys should be in as legends. I'm not saying don't use Undertaker, don't use Sting, but don't put them above every one of today's stars. They should, when they come in, they should be legends, and you can hold them in high regard. But I'm just saying you don't need to make them the main event every time. You should have more going on underneath so that, if anything, it feels like a co-main event. Whatever your world title match is and then whatever Undertaker is doing on the show feel like your co-main events. It feels like it's a really big deal that Taker's coming back. And I also want to see them. We've talked about it for years, and I think the ship has probably sailed at this point for that equity you've built up in these guys and transfer it to today's stars. And I don't know that would make the caller happy because he sounds a little disgruntled with the way they've used, but I think that could have happened somewhere along the way, and I think that's among the reasons that they've had trouble turning the guys I would deem as today's stars into feeling like they're as big as Undertaker and as big as Triple H. It's just that's where Vince McMahon is really struggling right now. They all feel like everyone today is positioned in a way where they're beneath the people in the Attitude Era, with the possible exception of John Cena.
Quick note before we take one or two more calls to wrap up the show. If you're doing shopping on Amazon in this holiday season, it would be a great favor to us if you would start your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon. If you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, there's an Amazon link there for the UK, US, and Canada, and we plan to add more countries soon. And if you click on those links, it takes you right to the Amazon homepage, the same one you were going to go to if you started typing in AMAZON.com. But don't do that anymore. If you're a Livecast listener and want to show us some love, some support, a great way to do so is to help us get a commission on the things you buy. Basically, some of the profit that will go to Amazon, go throw in a few quarters or a couple bucks in the tip jar when you're shopping for yourself or others in this holiday season at Amazon. So next time you are on your web browser and you were typing AMAZ, stop right there. And remember, you can show support for us by going to pwtorch.com/Amazon instead. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the country that corresponds to where you are shopping from, and shop away, and we get a cut, and it is a great win-win for those of you who are already doing that, and would love for all of you to join in if you're planning on shopping Amazon this holiday season. All right, let's go to, could be a Skype caller, Ryan. Go ahead and confirm this is you and the city you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, it's you.
Yeah, it's Ryan from Huddersfield in England.
Great to hear from you. We always like accents from all over the world. What have you got for us, Ryan?
Basically, it's JR's podcast about him talking about the possibilities of Batista coming back to face Brock Lesnar. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Ryan, are you from part of England that Drew McIntyre would have a similar accent as you? Because to my ear...
No, that's Scotland.
I know, but you sound like there's some thing about your accent that is thought to be similar to Drew's Scottish accent, because I see similar...
No, I'm between Manchester and Leeds, so more towards...
It's just my...
More Wade Barrett.
I guess you all sound the same to us Minnesotans, then. Jason, does he sound a little like Drew to you?
When he said Wade Barrett's name, like, that's what it is.
Oh, maybe so, yeah. All right, anyway, enough embarrassing lack of recognizing dialects. Ryan, yes, I think Batista against Brock Lesnar, Jason, on the list of possibilities, is kind of intriguing to me, because Batista has done a good job in making a name for himself. And I think the fact that WWE went from ignoring his movie career to mentioning his movie success might be a hint. Now, it's not like Batista is endearing himself on his interviews that he's done, where he's just kissing the ass of management, but I think that Batista, as coming in as a heel with the sunglasses and the entourage, acting like a big shot, and Brock Lesnar saying, I'm taking you to Suplex City, I don't think you have to do a lot to sell that match. I think people would like to see Brock beat up Batista, and I don't have a lot of other people on the list of opponents for Brock that intrigue me enough where I would feel like I'm sacrificing anything to have that match.
Yeah, I mean, I still would prefer to see Brock Lesnar work with someone younger. I do think, you know, the scenario laid out is a good one. I would also say that the match that he wants, which is facing Triple H, I think would be about right. I just don't think, even though Batista's had Hollywood success, I have that bad taste in my mouth from his last run, and I think a lot of fans do. I don't know that him going on and finding success in the Bond movie and the Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be enough for the pro wrestling crowd to suddenly be excited about him coming back. But, you know, that is a really good scenario where if he just hams it up because of that success and he goes so over the top with it, as we've seen him do in the past very well, it could be fun.
Yep. All right, very good. Let's do one more call and go to 617.
Oh, real quick, Wade, do you think Dave Batista wants to take 19 German suplexes now that, he definitely enjoys wrestling, yeah, but now that he's had this level of success, does he want to work a Brock Lesnar match?
You know, the thing about Brock is, Brock has a reputation for not hurting people, because Brock is so strong.
Yeah, we talked about it recently.
So in control of himself that I think you're less likely to be injured against Brock Lesnar if Brock decides to take care of you than a lot of other guys who are leaping off the top rope where things can go wrong. You know, taking a suplex from Brock, I'm not saying I want to do it, but I'm not sure that Batista would feel like it was, you know, a super high-risk situation if Brock took care of him and Batista knew how to take the bump. I could be wrong. I'm just saying I wouldn't necessarily call that a disqualification.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. All right, 617, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, this is Anthony from Boston.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for calling. What have you got for Jason and me?
So, obviously, they're trying to give a big rub with Undertaker and Kane to Bray Wyatt. I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on a potential babyface that they could insert into that feud and perhaps elevate. It seems Finn Balor could be the obvious candidate. I wouldn't necessarily vote for that. I think he'd be better off on his own. But do you see anyone else that they could potentially put on Undertaker's side to help balance the scales a little bit?
Jason, what do you think?
I don't see it that way. I mean, this was the hope when Bray Wyatt worked with Undertaker and when Bray Wyatt worked with John Cena, that he's getting rubbed from them. He got something. I think whatever that something is what he gets from this. I don't think they're looking to elevate him as much as it is worrying about Taker and Kane. More so Taker, obviously. I will say that the way this is booked does remind me of what we saw with Taker and Lesnar going into that WrestleMania where Lesnar beat him, where you're like, are they ever going to put, you know, he's the heavy underdog. Why aren't they doing something to make it seem like he at least has a chance in this match? Because we've seen the Wyatt family just get destroyed by Undertaker and Kane the same way that Taker just was always getting the last lap on Lesnar going into that WrestleMania. It just leaves me wondering if, okay, we all just, no one's really excited about this match, but instead of it just being a slam dunk that Taker and Kane win, maybe they're going to put the Wyatt family over to set something up for down the road.
Yeah, as far as Finn Balor goes, I'm pretty hung up on Finn just coming in as his own act. I hope they don't, and I don't think they will, because Finn Balor would look so small compared to Taker and Kane. I think that would be bad for him, too. You know, there's a size issue there that I think has to be considered, the same way, you know, that Randy Savage didn't want Nick Patrick to be refereeing his matches because Nick was so big and it made Randy look small. I just don't think it makes sense if you want to make money with Finn Balor to take that approach. Plus, I think Finn has just such tremendous potential on his own as a potential breakout single star that I don't know that linking him with Undertaker does Finn all that much good. I mean, he's on the short list of people who I could see Vince thinking, oh, you know, mysterious entrance, but there's not a lot else there that links the two of them together in a way. So, yeah, I kind of think, and I'm not sure that Taker and Kane want to introduce anybody else who's, you know, their little buddy or they're part of an alliance either. If there was somebody in NXT who just fit perfectly, size and gimmick, you know, pass the torch type thing, yeah, but I just don't see Finn as that guy. All right, that'll do it for us. Thank you so much for your support. Don't forget the place to go to get $1 for a full month of VIP or $9 off any of our VIP plans is pwtorch.com/govip. We've got a great new sign-up page, totally redesigned with a summary of what you get with a VIP membership, a whole batch of testimonials, dozens of testimonials from VIP members talking about what they like about the product, what convinced them to sign up, and why they stuck around. And so I encourage you to check that out. I can sell it to you all you want, or more than you want probably, but really go to the testimonials page that's linked to at pwtorch.com/govip. And on the more information page at the bottom, there's those testimonials. Check it out. I think it's hard to walk away from that, those comments from those readers, because they'll sound like you. They probably sound a lot like you did before you became VIP, and you're going to trust their judgment probably more than my pitches as a businessman trying to get your money. So go ahead. We're offered for a dollar for a reason. We think you'll like it when you dive in. It's a great deal. The coupon code is LiveCastSale. All one word, no space in there. Enter that in the coupon code box when you go to the VIP form to sign up, and it's $1 for a full month. It'll auto-renew at the regular rates after that, or you can cancel any time with no further obligation. So there's really no catch in that regard. It's pwtorch.com/govip. Get on board. We'll have post-Survivor Series Roundtable on Sunday, The Fix with Todd Martin tomorrow, the Bruce Micheladio Show this weekend, the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. We just put up a Pro Wrestling Spotlight long-form interview from the early 90s with Classy Freddie Blassie. Recently, we put up an early 90s interview with Ric Flair and a long-form interview with Jim Ross from the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show. Really cool stuff on these old radio archives, and you actually get access to more than 100 old late 80s through mid-90s radio shows when you sign up, plus some Attitude Era radio shows, Jim Valley's Total Chaos with some special guests too, and we add more all the time. So if you're a little disgruntled on today's scene, but you want to get some exclusive content from the past, real-time coverage of wrestling, whether it's 10 years ago, Attitude Era, or late 80s through mid-90s, there's a lot of stuff up there covering those eras. So cool stuff. Check it out. pwtorch.com/govip. Coupon code LiveCastSale. Costs you only $1. It's really, if you made it to this part of the live cast, probably something you'd really enjoy. It's compatible on all kinds of devices. We have a tip sheet basically to walk you through and tell you what apps are well-reviewed and how to sign up in case you're not real tech savvy. We walk you step-by-step through whether you have an iPhone or an Android device or want to sign up on iTunes, whether you want to stream the audio, download the audio, use an app, use our website. All of it. We cover it all, walk you through it step by step, and I'm here at kellerwade@gmail.com, and I do this every day, walking people through any questions they have. Someone just this week switched from an Android device to an iPhone and needed a little help, and I was responding to them within minutes of their email. So check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. Spend a buck, with the coupon code LIVECASTSALE, or take $9 off any of the options if you want to commit to 3 months or a year. That does it for me for today, except for the VIP After Show. Speaking of which, we'll have an ad-free version of this program, this very program, the last 99 minutes. Will be ad-free with this plug and all commercials taken out for VIP members. Plus, we'll be adding a VIP after-show discussion. Jason Powell and I will be recording that after this program for 20 to 30 minutes, and that will be up answering your email topics and covering some other issues, including Goldberg to TNA. Goldberg was approached. We'll address that issue. That is covered at pwtorch.com right now, and others. Don't forget, pwtorch.com, daily source for wrestling news. MMAtorch.com, your daily source for MMA news, including all kinds of follow-up from Ronda Rousey and so many big events coming up throughout the rest of the year and into January. And my co-host on Tuesday is Jason Powell. Jason, give a last plug to your site and anything else you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out that Will Pruitt Pause review. Very good read that is available right now on ProWrestling.net. And again, check out our sign-up page if you are interested in membership to our ad-free version of the site. And I did an all-access audio review of last night's Raw that is available to everyone. You can check that out at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. Tomorrow, Pat McNeil is back. And then Thursday, Mick Harshon to talk about the great Nick Bockwinkel. You won't want to miss that show. It'll be a history lesson and an entertaining program, too, because there's so many great stories to tell about Nick and Bobby. And nobody better to tell them than Mick Harsh. So join me then. And then Friday, it'll be Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant. If you want more discussion on Raw, Pat McNeil and James Caldwell did a great show yesterday. Instant analysis of Raw Monday night. Pat and James running down the show and breaking it down and then taking phone calls for a while too. So if you're looking for more Raw discussion and a couple other perspectives on the show, Torch assistant editor James Caldwell and Pat McNeil, longtime Torch columnist, are waiting for you at pwtorchlivecast.com. Wanted to slip that in there too, meant to do that earlier. Thank you, everybody. Until next time, Wade Keller on behalf of Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. Oh, I'm sorry, one more plug if you're still with me. I was on the Steve Austin show last Thursday. It is on the Unleashed feed. You can find it at Podcast One or on iTunes. Steve and I just talked about general topics in wrestling, current events, Seth's injury, our a terribly wrong prediction on Ronda Rousey. We were not alone in that regard, and more for about 45, 50 minutes. Check it out over at Steve Austin Unleashed on at Podcast One or on iTunes. That's really it. Until next time, Wade Keller signing off. This is love.